even with for putting me last. It's been 4 years since I did a summary on Cotton Incorporated Ag Research, and that's long enough to forget how tedious the work is. So what I shared with you 4 years ago, it's on the Beltwide slides, was this overview. It took 4 years. The data back then, so this was 58 through 97, was very weak data. So I had to pull out a number of projects and not able to look into it in a little more intensity, but we were able to get some really nice images showing some changes over time and funding, and that's available on the Beltwide website if any of you want to look at it. So I decided to, as I said, forgot how tedious this was, to redo it and focus on just the recent 20 years with a one-year overlap, so I'd get a clean 20 years. And I took all the projects, 7,500, and split them into 41 categories, the original 20, and then I added 21. 16% of the projects I was not able to categorize without spending a huge amount of time and really digging into all the reports and trying to determine. It would have been fairly vague, such as Mid-South entomology, and I didn't want to confuse it. So here's my methods slide. That's not the bottom of the spreadsheet. That's 6,000 there. And I kept expanding my reference sheet on the right, so it was tedious. I will be trying to create a Journal of Cotton Science publication on this, because there's so much good information in here that's hard to cover in just a few minutes here. Just the cumulative, it's a staggering amount. It's $158 million that haven't been invested by growers. And I shared this with Bob Nichols, and he said, "Cater, what have we done with $158 million? And so it's great to be a part of this session and see many of the impacts and the outcomes, the long-term, you know, the Kerry Hugies with your Cotton Foundation Fellowship and the innovations, the Dory Main, just the He Jing Ching, all of the great information that's come from that investment. So 7,700 projects, 13 project managers over that time period. And I just want to read all their names because they're really the ones that did the hard work. Bill Lawler, Roy Cantrell, Tommy Valco, Gay Gibbidin, Pat O'Leary, Janet Reed, Jeannie Reeves, Don Jones, who's here, Ed Barnes, Bob Nichols, Tom Wiedegardner, Ryan Kurtz, and myself. So let's look at some trends, and then we'll get into some specific examples. And those of you that would like to go into more detail on some areas later on, I'd be glad to engage with you on this. So looking at the dollars invested over time, I wanted to get a couple things on the graph, so it's a little difficult to see, but where it says 1,000, that's 10 million, right? So this is by 10,000. So we've had a good rise. I really feel that this last 2 years, I've let y'all down. My number one job is to bring resources for ag research. And so we've had a dip the last 2 years on that. The funding that goes into Cotton Incorporated is related to not only the bales produced, but the price of that fiber as well. And so it's been a real challenge the last 2 years. The number of projects we've about doubled in the last 20 years. But the one I'm most proud of is if you look at the number of cooperators, that's gone up 4 per year. And some people in the hall will talk about the concerns about the lack of cotton scientists. You know, Don and others have really been beating the bush. We've pulled some people into cotton that have made great contributions. This is a fairly depressing slide. This is the actual dollars per project. Probably more importantly, the dollars per cooperator certainly has not kept up with inflation. In last couple of years, last decade, it's actually been very, very flat. But somewhere around $35,000. And so you can see that Cotton Incorporated only provides a small fraction of the cost of a lab. We're providing, actually, it's on average 8% of the, or 8 cents on the dollar if you estimate how much it runs, cost to run a full lab. So here's the data, and from absolute top to bottom, and we're going to go into this a little bit more detail. I wanted to show you that two that I carried over from the previous year, we did not have one project on vaccinosis, and that was a project that had a dramatic increase and a dramatic decrease. We really feel that that was a problem that was addressed. The module builder, there was actually one project on that. So we're going to drop those off the graph to make it a little bit simpler. And so we're going to go through some of these in a little bit more detail. Can I get a glass of water? And first I wanted to call out the ones that are most important for this session, cotton improvement, variety improvement, and this really reflects the persuasive ability of people like Don Jones and his predecessors to talk to grower leaders about the importance of genetic investment. The way I've done these is the vertical lines represent the cumulative dollars invested over that 20 million two-year period. So this would be right here. This line is the 2 million line, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, and 14. And then, can you all see the color codes on there? Good. So the color codes match the words. So the top one is breeding tools and germplasm, major investment. The other ones that are related, I've tried to group these in related areas, biotechnology and fiber biology, long-term investment in fiber biology, and genomics, one that's just come on. Don did an excellent job of communicating to the board why this new concept that's come out of human medicine really needs to be invested in, and with the success you've heard this year. The next one is weeds. Obviously, weeds, long-term battle with cotton, and one that is right up there in terms of the investments. So that would be, just reading that line, that's around $7 million cumulative dollars invested in weeds. We go down in, I've grouped nematodes with diseases, and here's a real shocker for me. Nematodes, obviously a huge amount of investment in that. I think we have a lot to show for it right now in terms of post-plant resistance. A scattering of other diseases, stand establishment includes a little bit broader category besides diseases. And fusarium wilt, verticillium wilt, you know, these are major, major threats, but the investments have been really minor in those areas. Production economics, we've had a strong investment in that over the last 20 years. That's about $7 million in that category. Here's cottonseed. All three of those group right on top of each other. Investing in the science of gospel and gospel elimination, and you're all familiar with what Dr. Rathore and his team are doing to remove gospel from cottonseed. Dr. Rathore is here, but also a broader range of investing in cottonseed products, and we've seen the value of cottonseed in relationship to the overall harvest has really gone up dramatically. Tom Wiedegartner tells me that the original funding for feeding whole cottonseed to cattle was actually done sort of off the books at the time because it was very controversial to want to take cottonseed away from the crushing industry and give it to the cattle industry. But we all know how important that is, has been to producers. And cottonseed marketing has been a strong program over the last few years. Here's insects, and I was able to pull this out based on major insects. You know, really, plant bugs have been a long-term struggle. The sucking insects would be whiteflies and aphids, bollworms, bud weevils, bollweevils, I'm sorry. Now, bollworms is both virescens and Helicoverpa, Zea and virescens, then stink bugs, thrips, other insects and pink bollworms. And I did take the time to go into those insects and look at the distributions over time. I think this is one of the real powers of this large data set, is I can pull out on a year-by-year basis. Actually, this is a two-year category, two-year lump. And just looking at these are the ones with the highest investments, starting at your upper left and to the lowest investments. And just look at how the shifts have occurred over time. Major, major shifts. Plant bugs have just come on really, really strong, a real struggle. And more recently, we've had to cut some of the funding for plant bugs to go into, look what's happened to thrips. Thrips, major investments the last few years. So actually, we've stripped funds out of plant bugs and moved them over to thrips. Sucking insects, remember all the problems we had with white flies and sticky cotton, huge investments there. That problem's largely relegated to just some small areas that don't occur every year. Bollworms, very interesting. A huge investment 20 years ago and then largely solved. Look what's happening. Bollworms are resurging as a problem, as we know. As we start losing efficacy on our two-gene products, obviously boll weevils, what a success story that has been. Stink bugs came out of nowhere and just really exploded in terms of problems. We talked about thrips. Other pest is primarily mites. Mites has been this two biphasic phenomenon, huge growth in mite problems recently in response. Pink bollworm. Those are not real high numbers. You can see that's the one that's the least invested level. Ginning has also been an area with large investments over time, but also defoliation and harvesting, a lot of investments, but ginning a big, big investment. Fertilization, and here I think is one that also we've made a mistake. If you look at the relative amount of funding we put into nitrogen fertilizer versus potassium and phosphorus, I think we really missed the boat in that we're seeing more and more our soils are getting stratified. With the nitrogen and phosphorus being in the surface, we're mining the subsoils, we're mining native fertility on many of these soils. And so just recently, we've tried to ramp up particularly the investments in potassium with large plot belt-wide efforts. Phosphorus, very, very little has been invested in there. And micronutrients, virtually nothing. We know very little, or we've invested, and I really think we know very little about sulfur and the other micronutrients, particularly under the high-yielding conditions that we have now. So let me just close with a couple areas. I want to talk about the investment strategies. And we're really fortunate we've got Mark Waddy here, who's the chairman of Cotton Incorporated. So any serious questions, Mark, they're going to go to you. So our investment strategy is we want to fund projects that might enhance producer profitability. And I say might because we know it's research. But we've got to have that connection to producer profitability, and we want to stretch the grower dollars as absolutely far as we can go. And actually, from Don and I standpoint, this makes us somewhat the bad guys, because we're constantly trying to, you know, find if we can stretch those dollars, and that means asking you to do more with less. So as I mentioned, most cooperatives, in fact, 75% of the cooperatives receive 20 cents on the dollar or less for that research, and we are adding new crop scientists to cotton. We're grabbing them from other crops and other plants. As I mentioned, it's 4 per year of smart, innovative people coming in. We want to encourage leveraging. A lot of the funds that we provide hopefully can use for basically startup angel investment type of concepts, develop data that then you can pursue bigger, more significant funding from deeper pockets. Absolutely, cross-institution collaboration. Don and Bob Nichols and others, and Ed Barnes, Ryan Kurtz, have been the champions. We've got to put our football rivalries aside and collaborate. More and more teams from multiple disciplines, absolutely critical. And we ask that these teams be constantly thinking in the back of their mind, farm profitability, impactful goals and outcomes. Constantly be thinking about the research and how it connects to those critical outcomes. We also do a mixture of near-term and long-term deliverables, and that changes a little bit depending upon the pressure that the cotton industry is under. As you know, right now, farmers are under a huge financial pressure, and so we're looking at more trying to hit some closer term, some near-term deliverables. We want to continually evaluate progress and impacts and adjust priorities as conditions change. So let me just end you with what the growers are saying is their current priorities. We were really fortunate. Ed Barnes led an effort to do a cotton producer survey this year. The growers responded wonderfully. We had a really good response. The objectives were to do a bunch of things. Prioritization was just one of them. Here's the data on the sort of the metrics on this survey. 925 responses represent about 10% of the U.S. cotton acres. You know how much growers hate surveys to get basically a 10% response, and I tracked them every 200, and there was virtually no change from the first 200. So that means that I really feel that if we kept on going, that the numbers would not have changed much. And also, we gave the growers the option to break anonymity and give us their contact details so that then we could give them a customized response. 65% did that. So that really shows that they were comfortable sharing solid data answers with us. So question 25 out of this 27-minute survey focused on producer priorities. And I wanted to share that with you. It included a couple obvious ones to test whether people were reading it. It included, I'm just going to show you the high and moderate concerns. I won't show you the three that were rated right at the bottom. This is the ranking of all the survey, all the priorities of the 27. Three I'm not going to show you, the ones on the far left there, far right, excuse me. So let's just wrap up with two slides on the current producer priorities as of planting season this year. Number one, cotton production input cost. That was number one in 2011, number one now. And in fact, this is the question I use to determine whether growers read it. So 3% of the growers said that's not an issue, Mark. I think 3% of the growers didn't read that survey and just checked a box, right? Because clearly 100% of the growers had to say a number one issue. The second highest were weed issues. And think back of the investments we've made. Weeds really, really, really near the top. So I think that we've tried to match the grower concerns. But you can see that's a very, very high concern. Cotton seed value came in fourth, and it was 7. It's moving up in the rank. Growers recognize that they're getting value for cotton seed. You know, back when they just traded it for the ginning, you had a hard time seeing that value, but now they really see it. Spread of diseases and weeds seeming bigger, stand establishment huge. This is the one I love right here from a sustainability. Take a look at where consumer attitudes about ag's impact on the environment. Where was that in 2011? It was 31. We moved from 31 to 7. And go back to the question, how would you rate the following cotton production concerns or challenges on your farm? Not for society or for your community or for the cotton industry, but on your farm. So growers have really listened to you all and the cotton leadership that's been active in saying the consumer votes, the consumer counts. Cotton's tolerance to heat and drought, efficient use of fertilizers, adequate water supply, variety selection, bug control, plant bug control. And here's the ones that fall into the middle group. Climate change, rainfall, and temperature. Number 13 is a new one we added. Lack of new crop protection products dropped quite a bit. Growers are now feeling like they're getting some products. Pesticide drift, insect resistance, insecticides, and BT cotton came up a little bit. Soil sampling analysis for fertilization, monitoring cotton's growth, stable harvest age, stink bugs, soil erosion, and soil compaction. And again, we're putting these out in multiple formats so that you can look at it. So what I need from you all is we need continual demonstration of investment impacts. And we heard a lot this morning, so continue to communicate with Don and Ed and the other project managers, and let's continue to make as robust a story as we can to share with growers what that $158 million, the breadth of impact that that's had. With that, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm around for a couple questions. Thank you.
Any questions for Kay?
Or Mark Waddy, any questions for Mark? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And thank you, Don, for your leadership.
So just observation after being in meetings with Don and, of course, Cater's talk, what an amazing job Cotton Incorporated does with the money they're responsible for. That breakout of the insect issues, how nimble you've been, changing where you spend your money, I think is pretty amazing for a nonprofit who's supporting our industry. I think Cotton Incorporated in general, we owe them a round of applause for what they do.
Thank you.